Our off-grid system consists of 14 panels. Each panel is rated at 430 watts. So 430 watts times 14 panels is 6,020 watts, aka a 6 kilowatt system. And we left some room on the right side. If we wanted to upgrade, we can always add 4 more panels, which is not necessary because the system works so great. These panels are called Hanwha Q cells. They are made in China. We did want the Panasonic panels, which are the best panels in the world. However, the solar installer that we used, they are not certified Panasonic dealers. So I could have purchased and had the Panasonic panels installed. However, they would not be warrantied. So I went with the Hanwha Q cells. Now let's go on the inside and I'll show you the batteries. The batteries. We have 3 7,500 watt lithium iron phosphate batteries. These are the newest technology of battery storage. The problems you hear about batteries catching on fire, those are all the lithium polymer. Lithium polymer, aka LiPo batteries or LiPo batteries, they are kind of volatile. They get very hot, they puff up, and those are the ones that catch on fire. But lithium iron phosphate is very, very stable. It's safe. It's the safest technology that exists right now for battery storage. And it doesn't get hot. They don't puff up. They're very, very, very safe. So let me open this up because you're getting a lot of glare. You see the snuggler right here. Yeah, we're talking about you. Get that glare out of here. Lithium iron phosphate batteries are also sealed, so that makes them maintenance free and they don't require venting. So even if the housing on one of the batteries cracked, it's not going to emit caustic fumes. So 3 7,500 watt batteries, total storage 22,500. However, lithium iron phosphate batteries, just like, you know, lithium polymer, even, you know, going back to nickel metal hydride and nickel cadmium batteries, you can't run them dry. I know lithium polymer and lithium iron phosphate, you do not want to run them down under 20%, because if you run a battery under 20%, then you'll start to damage it over time. So the BMS battery management system, you know, once these batteries get down to 20%, it'll cut off. So you see, every battery has 6 LEDs. Now, when these LEDs go down to nothing, your battery's depleted. You'll still have 20% capacity, but it'll shut the battery off. So 22,500 watts minus the 20% storage that you never tap into, which is 4,500 watts. Our actual storage capacity is going to be 18,000 watts. Now, just be aware of that. Whatever batteries, you know, you decide on, you know, for your storage capacity, that you're going to get the full rating. You're going to get, you know, every battery is 7,500 watts, 22,500 watts of storage, but you're only getting 18,000. So just keep that in mind, that you may have to up your battery storage to actually get what you want. So you see our top battery here is fully charged with 6 LEDs. The middle battery is 5 and a flasher, so that's getting topped off. And the bottom, 5 and a flasher. We're topping that one off. We are bringing in, let's wake it up. This times out after a couple minutes. I like to look at it once in a while, see what's going on. So right now, we're bringing in 1,010 watts. We're only using 50 watts throughout the house. And 920 watts are going into the battery. So we're slowly topping off the batteries. As you get closer to topping off the batteries, no matter how much sun you're bringing in, it's just going to, you know, lightly top it off, and that gives the batteries the longest life. So I just hit stop on that video and I looked, and we just seconds later topped off the bottom two batteries. The SolarC draws pretty much balance between all three, but it does seem to draw a little bit more from the top one first. So this will be always... Wow. That's a sigh of relief, huh? It always seems to draw a little bit more from the top one, and then it'll start drawing. Like, this would be next to have a flasher. Maybe this one would have a flasher. It pretty much draws evenly, but it does seem to draw a little bit more from this top battery. And I don't know, you know, why, but it's pretty close to being a full balance. So you see these batteries are labeled June of 2021. All of our equipment was manufactured around the middle of 2021. We signed the contract with IGT at the beginning of 2021. So by the time they could get a hold of the components, you know, because of Corona, they were hard to get a hold of, and we had to actually wait for the batteries for a few months. So everything that we got, the good news, even though we had to wait, was a little bit of an upgrade from what we would have got at the beginning of 2021, because everything is constantly evolving these days with the technology on solar. And a lot of people are really amazed, and a few people we had come over and actually, you know, I show the system to, and they're amazed that, you know, three batteries and 14 panels can flawlessly run this entire house. But that's the technology that we have these days. This is a great time for solar because everything is getting smaller and lighter and more efficient and less expensive. And it's really a fantastic time. Of course, if you get, you know, now it's January of 2023, if you get a system now, in a year from now, you'll be like, oh man, I wish I waited. But it's always going to be like that, because something is always going to get, you know, better, cheaper, more efficient, smaller, lighter. The inverter, the heart of the system. This is a SolarC 12K, and SolarCs are made in Texas. It's a veteran-owned company. And what's great about SolarCs are it's more than just an inverter. It does a few things. It has its own internal breakers, and it has its own charge controller, or as I call the computer. That's what runs the whole system, tells the electricity where it needs to go and when, directs it. Is it going to go, you know, right out to your appliances? Is it going to have to go into the storage? You know, it monitors your batteries and the levels. And, you know, it's a computer, but in the world of solar, it's called a charge controller. So it's an inverter, internal breakers, and charge controller all in one. So right now we're bringing in 100 watts. We're using 50 watts. And 30 watts are going to the battery. It's not even showing you the lines going. It's so little. 50 watts, 10 watts. There it goes. Bring in 60 watts. So you see the going into the battery. So I'm going to turn on this dryer right here. We have a little mini stackable GE. So I'm going to turn the dryer on to more dry, maximum dry. Go ahead and start. And you see now, see it bringing in 3,000 watts, 2,950 watts. We're using 4,430 watts for the dryer. So we're bringing in 4,500. So it's matching, it's bringing in what we need. It's not drawing anything from the battery. In fact, it's putting 760 watts into the battery. So 442 plus, it keeps changing, but if you add the 4,420 watts to run the dryer and what's going into the battery, it's going to be pretty close to what we're bringing in. So we're, you know, bringing in 100 watts and now we're bringing in 4,800. So whatever you need, whatever draw we have on the house, this will bring in to match it. And as you see, it's not going into the battery and then coming out of the battery to run the dryer. The SolarC takes the direct current that's produced at the solar panels and it converts it right here at the inverter and sends it right out to where it's needed. It doesn't go into the battery and then come out and get converted. If you need it, it's a direct demand system. 4,690 watts coming in, 4,410 to run the dryer, and 112 going to keep those batteries topped. Okay, we'll go ahead and shut this off. Go over here. See, we just had 2,910, 110, 50 watts, 20 watts, 10 watts. It's bringing in 10 watts. It just wants to top off the battery. So the solar panels create direct current, or DC, and the current travels through the cables into the house, into the inverter, which should actually be called a converter because it converts that direct current into alternating current, or AC, so it could be used by your household appliances. Now, the computer or solar controller, it knows where to direct that power. So if you need it, as I showed you earlier, if you need it on demand, it will take that DC, convert it right to AC, and send it out to where you need it. If no power is needed, then it's going to take that DC and it's going to direct it right to the batteries as storage. And then when it's needed from the batteries, it's going to come out, and you'll see, like right now it's flowing into the batteries. You'll see that flow come out as it's using that battery stored power, and it'll convert it to alternating current at that point to be used. But we did see that it can draw right from the panels and go directly to the appliances that's necessary. It doesn't go to the battery and then get converted, because that would be a waste of efficiency, because every time electricity goes through a component, you lose a little bit of efficiency. So we've been here now for 4 months, and I wanted to wait to really test the system out, and I'm really glad that I did, because a few weeks ago we had that record cold front come in, and for 3 days the highest temperature was either 39 or 40 degrees. And coincidence, those 3 days we didn't even see the sun. So it was so bad that during the middle of the afternoon, I think the most we're bringing in would be like 100 watts. So for 3 days, it was like, it was so heavily clouded. It was like being in London on a bad day. So basically bringing in almost no power for those 3 days really showed me what 22,500 watts of storage is, or actually 18,000 usable watts of storage. It really showed us what that capacity is. And I'm going to go over a few scenarios that I wrote down so I can remember the numbers and let you know. We ran the heater, the mini split heater, during the day. And then at nighttime, we ran a wood burning stove. Now, the fourth day, we woke up in the morning, clear skies. Sun was out, 7 o'clock in the morning. The sun was out. We were drawing, like, let's see, that was the day we're drawing the most I've ever seen. The first battery, the top battery, was dead. The middle battery had one LED and a flasher, and the bottom battery had one LED and a flasher. So we're almost completely out of power. Luckily, that fourth day being sunny, we were bringing in, that's when I saw the most, because the batteries were almost dead. So it's like, oh, we need to, the Solark's like, we need to charge these batteries up quick. It was bringing in 6,050 watts, and the average, it fluctuates. So it was bringing in between, every time I'd look at it, it would bring in between 5,800 and 6,000 watts. And the most I saw was the 6,050 watts. And by 12:30 in the afternoon, all the batteries were fully charged. Let's say we run the heater all night, or we run the air conditioner all night. So in the morning, the battery is going to be a little bit low. And as I mentioned, when your batteries are near full capacity, you're only going to bring a little bit because you just want to top them off slowly so you can preserve the chemistry and you don't want to degrade the batteries. But if your batteries are a little bit low in the morning and the Solark knows they need charged up, it'll bring in, full power until they get close to being topped off. And we average, even with clouds, say, light clouds or wispy clouds, we bring in anywhere from 1500 to 2000 watts at 7 o'clock in the morning if we need power. So these batteries very quickly get charged up. So the 3 days that we had no sun, we survived purely off of the three batteries, the 18,000 watts of usable storage. And let me tell you how we did that, because not everyone would actually be able to survive it. Now, as I said, the high for 3 days was 39 or 40 degrees. So we ran the mini split heater during the day, but at night we ran the wood burning stove. This is our Gree mini split. It does AC and heat. This is actually a rebadged Frigidaire. Excellent, excellent piece of equipment. Our custom built Brocco-matic wood burning stove. Now, if we didn't have that wood burning stove, we would have to be selective on how we use the mini split heater during those 3 days. We would probably have just run the mini split during the day and bundle up at night, but it was nice having the wood burning stove to supplement. Otherwise, if we just ran that heater, just nonstop for 3 days, it's super efficient. It only draws 900 watts, so 900 watts an hour, but for 3 days where you're only bringing in at the maximum, 100 watts for just a few hours, we would have ran dry on day three. We would have been out of juice. We were washing clothes and cooking dinner and using the microwave. We didn't hold back on anything except run the wood burning stove at night just to supplement. Now, the one thing that fooled me about this 12K Solark, and I'm not real happy about it, and neither are a lot of people on the solar forums that are interested in Solark because of the way they label these. Now, there is a Solark 8K, and that puts out 8,000 watts, whether you're on grid or off grid. This Solark 12K, I thought it put out 12,000 watts. That's why they call it 12K. Well, it doesn't. It only puts out 9,000 watts. Now, when we bought this in mid-2021, I didn't realize, or I would have just waited another couple months. About the time they did this install, they came out with a 15K. The 15K actually only puts out 12K of watts that you can actually draw from if you're off grid. Now, we may swap out this 12K for 15K, and I'm going to get into why right now. The reason they call it a 12K is you can use up to 9,000 watts draw, And if you're grid tied, you have the ability to sell back at the same time up to 3,000 kW back to the power company. Same concept with the 15 kW. You can draw 12 and at the same time have the ability to sell 3,000 back, so 15 kW. But it's misleading, and that 3,000 kW going back to the power company, if you're grid tied, should just be like a little perk, but it should not represent the name of the system. Our electric tankless water heater. This is a Titan N64. It draws, supposed to draw 6,400 watts, hence the name N64, but it actually draws 7,000 watts. Now, if we had a regular tank water heater, it just has a heating coil on the bottom and it's no big deal. It just draws a little bit of power, it gets it up to the water up to your set temperature, and then shuts off the heating coil and just cycles it as necessary. So if you have a tank water heater, it's no problem. It's meaningless. But if you're going to run a tankless like us, you have to have a small, efficient water heater. Otherwise, you're going to overload your Solark. So this drawing 6,000, well, 7,000 watts is, as you can imagine, a huge draw when the Solark can only put out a maximum of 9,000 watts. So you're running this hot water heater, it's drawing 7,000 watts. You only have 2,000 watts to play with before this Solark, reaches its capacity and it'll shut down. So your whole, it's just like you kill power to the whole entire house. And the good news, you don't do anything. Like a minute to a minute and a half later, it kicks back on and everything's, normal again. But when you're running this tankless water heater, you're drawing 7,000 watts. You can't, dry clothes because that's drawing, 4,000 to 4,500 watts. We did have the power go out a couple times using the hot water heater because once we were drying clothes, so obviously that wasn't going to work and it just killed the whole power. And another time, Bunny was taking a shower, so I came and woke up the Solark to see what it was doing because we're running the mini split heater and she was cooking on the stovetop. So the stovetop was drawing like 800 watts and the mini split was drawing 900. So now we have 1700 watts plus 7000, so 8700 watts. And then whatever else was running in the house, maybe the compressor on the refrigerator was running and we blew the power. So she had to wait a minute and a half for the power to kick back on and then the water to heat up and continue her shower. But we didn't want to have, the whole point of this cabin that we're living in here is, we're living in the cabin while we oversee the main house being built, and then the cabin is for friends and family to come over and, just have their own little getaway cabin in the woods. And we don't want to have to tell, guests, oh, well, when you take a shower, don't run the clothes dryer, or be careful if you're running the air conditioner or the heater while you're cooking, or you don't want to bother with that. You just want people to come in and enjoy. And that 7,000 watt draw, running other things can, tip the system and kill that power, and we don't want that. So I initially thought that the Solark 12K did 12K. I didn't realize it till just about they installed it. And I started, researching a little more, and I'm like, oh man. But as I mentioned, the 15K didn't even exist then. It only existed like right after they installed it. So if we get the Solark 15K, that'll give us an extra 3,000 since you can do 12,000 watts as a draw, and we'll never have a problem. So then we can do whatever we wanted and we don't have to worry about, and we don't want guests to come and take a shower and, and then kill the system. All of a sudden the power goes out. So what we're going to probably do is swap the 12K for 15K, and in the main house, we're going to take this 12K and pair it with another 12K, because in the main house, two 15Ks would actually be overkill, because we're going to run a 500-gallon propane underground to run the propane tankless water heater. This Titan N64, this is the most efficient brand tankless water heater that exists today. Even Bosch and another company that's made in Germany, which is super, super expensive, are not near as efficient as the Titan. And Rheem, also an excellent company, they're not near as efficient. So this is called a single point water heater, and we really only need it for the shower. So I actually have the hot water not even turned on in the kitchen and the bathroom. So if you are using the water heater, and someone else turns on hot water and the water goes cold, I just eliminated that, because this is a small, because we needed efficiency. We didn't want to have a big draw. So it's only single point just for the shower, for those 10 minutes you're taking a shower. Other than that, you can do anything you want with this system. I mean, there's no limit. I mean, SolarC says right on it, limitless power. Well, it's kind of true. It depends, what kind of limits you set the bar at. But it's just that 10 minutes of shower where you really need a efficient water heater, and the Titan series, if you're going to go tankless on electric, is the most efficient. And anything else, we wouldn't be able to use, because anything else would be so powerful that it just wouldn't run. One final note on this inverter, which is important. If you have a high draw motor like an air compressor or a well pump, to get those big 240 volt motors spinning, it's a lot of draw initially. And although this can only put out 9,000 watts continuously, it can do a surge of 18,000 watts for like 2.5 or 3 seconds. So that's long enough to get your air compressor or well pump or whatever motor windings going, so it doesn't overload the system. So I wanted you to hear the SolarC when the fans are running in cool down mode. And right now we're bringing in 3,420 watts. And we would be bringing in more, because it is a bright, bright, bright sunshiny day. Except these batteries are almost full, so it's just bringing in a little bit of current to top them off. Here you see 5.5 on this battery and 5.5 on this battery. And down on the bottom, we got 5.5. So it's just bringing in a little current to top off the batteries. That way it safely tops them off without causing any damage. So when the fans run, you just shut off. Now, we do hear it, but it never bothered us. These are louvered, so it doesn't block out much of the sound when you shut those. But you could put solid doors, store your SolarC in a solid area so you don't hear that. The newer ones are actually, I don't know if this one is, but the newer ones are actually rated to go outside. So you potentially could put this on the outside of your house and you'll never have to worry about hearing it if that's an issue for you. But it never bothered us, and it's just not a big deal. And I would much rather have this inside than outside, outside rated or not. The main thing with this solar, I mean, we're only going to talk off grid, is how you can really optimize this is a new build. And the reason for a new build is because if you're looking to build off grid and you want pure solar, or maybe you want solar and a propane tank to supplement you. a new build is going to be the best because you're going to have a metal roof. And I'm going to go outside and we're going to talk about why a metal roof is so important to have with solar. And also, you're going to have a new build. You're going to have all new appliances, which means you're not going to have your old, crappy, inefficient appliances. You're going to have everything new. Everything is going to be super efficient, you know, maybe scale down a little bit. And you're going to have ENERGY STAR rated products, and you're going to really get the most out of your solar because you're not going to have to spend so much money on batteries and panels and, you know, get a larger inverter because you're not going to need that much capacity. So let me show you the appliances that I picked for this cabin. This is 550 square feet with a 200 square foot loft. So the appliances that I chose were chosen for their energy efficiency, and a couple items we scaled down on for size just so it better fits into the cabin. Another very important factor of having a new build as opposed to an existing build is you can have your house built with a southern facing roof. And we made sure when we had this cabin built that it was perfectly southern facing. Otherwise, you can lose up to 60% of potential light gathering ability. Whirlpool, two burner cooktop, mini Keurig, 700 watt microwave. This is actually adjustable from 100 watts to 700 watts. We actually like it on 500. Frigidaire, refrigerator, freezer. This is ENERGY STAR rated, and it is an apartment size, it's called. It's not full size, and it's not the little tiny dorm room size. This is a smaller size General Electric stacked washer and dryer. Gree mini split does AC and heat, super efficient, 24 SEER, ENERGY STAR rated. The Titan N64, the world's most efficient electric tankless water heater. These are made in Miami, Florida, and probably one of the only good things ever come out of Miami. This will draw 7,000 watts and raise the water temperature 27 degrees at a flow rate of 2 gallons per minute. All of the lighting in the house are the same. They're LED bulbs. These are Edison style. They produce a yellow old school incandescent bulb light, which we like. And these put out 40 watts of light, but only draw 6 watts of power. So if you left this one light on for 1 hour, you only used 6 watts. Edison style. Even though he was a total jerk, screwed over Nikola and killed that elephant. ENERGY STAR rated LG television. And Starlink RV for internet. Just to let you know, in case you don't, if you're an environmentalist like I am, and you're starting a new build and you would like to have a propane tank, don't feel bad. Propane does not come from fracking. That's natural gas comes from fracking. Propane is a byproduct when they make petroleum from crude oil. So it's gonna be made anyways. So don't feel bad. Get your propane. Our 14 panel array, or PV array. PV means photovoltaic. Now, if you look at these, it looks like there's 28 panels, but solar panels are rectangular. So what looks like two is actually one. So on the left, we have 6, and on the right, we have 8. Now, one of the greatest things about a new build is going to be the roof. You want a metal roof. A good metal roof is going to be warrantied for a minimum of 30 years. They really only came out with these roofs about 10 years ago, but
they predict that they're going to be good for 50 years. And when we had this cabin built, we had a choice of two different roofs being metal. One was like, you know, your basic metal roof, and then the upgraded, you know, stronger, thicker steel. So that's what we went with. Now, having a new build, you're going to want the metal roof because not only is it superior in strength to any other roof, being, you know, any kind of barrel tile, Spanish clay tile, flat clay tile, shingle, it's a superior roof. They last the longest, and they're actually very quick and easy to put up. So even though they're a little expensive, actually you save on the labor because they're so easy to put together. And I think they look good, actually. At first, they looked a little weird, but, you know, it grows on you. But the most important thing about this metal roof with solar panels is you could see those clamps. They just clamp down to the existing ribs of the roof. There's no intrusion into the roof. If you have a existing house and you say, oh, I want to add solar panels, and your roof is clay tile or shingle, they're going to have to drill all these holes to secure the mounts into your roof. Where here, you can remove these solar panels and mounts and you'll never even know that they were on there. I mean, obviously the companies do it and it's probably not a problem too often, but do you want, you know, 40 holes drilled into your roof with mounting brackets? I mean, these just clamp right on. And because this is the strongest roof with the strongest attachments, you're going to save money because it's so easy to install. It's easy to install, it's not intrusive, and they're the strongest. In fact, these panels are rated up to a Category 4 hurricane. You see at the top there, if you see where it goes into the roof, but it's coming out over the into the soffit. So it's not actually into the structure of the roof that connects into the house. So if there was ever a leak there, you know, it's going to leak into the roof, but it's going to, you know, be over the soffit. And then the cable comes down. And then that's your main cutoff right here, breaker for emergencies. And it goes right into here to meet up with the SolarC. So what did this all cost us? Well, we are in the middle of 160 acres here. And the original owner had a trailer at the front gate. And there was a power pole right outside the front fence. And the wire looped down to the electric box and fed the trailer. So I had that all removed. And I called the power company and I talked to a couple people different times just to make sure I was getting the right information, and they both told me the same thing. So to have a power line run, I'd need several power poles or have it run underground. And to get that from the beginning of the 160 acres to the middle, that's like a quarter mile away. And it would have cost us over $20,000 to have underground cable run. And I'd probably need like a transformer in the middle. Can you imagine like having a transformer in the middle of the woods? So it's going to cost a minimum of $20,000, and then we would have an electric bill forever. So this system cost us $28,000, and we got $9,000 back when we filed our tax return in credits, and it really worked. So we would have owed $4,000 when we did our taxes last year, but instead we got $5,000 back. So we got that $9,000 break. So we paid $28,000, but we got $9,000 back, so we only paid $19,000. It would have cost us more to have power run and have an electric bill every month. how to calculate how much solar you need. Now, this was a little tricky, especially for me, because I didn't learn about the solar calculator until after the solar was done. I didn't even know that I knew it existed, but I didn't know it worked the way it did. And we're going to go over that later, but the solar calculator is really cool. So I picked out all the appliances that I wanted, and I would go into the specifications of each appliance and see how many watts they drew and what size breaker they required. And I forgot to mention this, but the Solark can do up to 50 amp breakers. Appliances, I went into the stats, found out how much wattage they drew, made sure they didn't go over 50 amps as a breaker, and how long I would be typically running that product. And I did it for everything. I figured out every appliance, how much use I would get out of that appliance for the day, wrote everything down, figured out what my draw was going to be, so I knew basically how much of a solar system that I needed. I didn't spend too much money getting batteries or panels that we don't need. It just worked out perfect. And the solar calculator will put you right on spot where you need to be. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's really neat, so I want to show you. This is how you can quickly and easily figure out how much solar you need. So here is 7.5 kilowatt life power batteries. And you plug in, you would put whatever batteries you get. So those are mine. And I have 3. And the Solark 12K. And I have 1. So up here in the corner, photovoltaic PV power input, you put your panels. We have 6,016 watts of power, so we'll round it up to 6,020. And then you just list everything that you're going to have. And again, if you're going to get a specific hot water heater and coffee maker, just look into the product statistics and it'll tell you everything here, so you can plug all this in. And you know, how often are you going to run it during the day and the night? The inverter overhead is thinking that you're using all these products. So I started with 9,000 because the Solark 12K does 9,000 watt draw. So it's thinking that all these are running at once, and we're good here because we're in beige. As soon as you hit red, it means it's not going to run. So all these can run at once. We still have 5,888 watts that we can use. But if you look here, all of a sudden we're in the red. That's the hot water heater that draws 6,400 watts, actually 7,000 watts. So you don't have to worry too much about this because you can add everything. You know, if this takes 1,000 watts, this takes 2,000, this takes 3,000, you just total all up and you know when you hit 9,000, that's all the products you can run. So it's not so much for the inverter. You really need this to tell you how many solar panels you need and how many batteries you need. And that tells you right here with your battery overage. The reason you do day and night is because it knows if things are running at night and you're not charging, you're going to need more batteries. So it figures all that out. And it does a lot more than even it seems, but we're not going to get into it. So the battery overage is 213%. Now, if I went and added, say, a dishwasher here, and because this is live, I can add whatever I want, but I'm not going to waste the time. If I did a dishwasher and say I draw 500 watts and I ran it twice a day, so it's, you know, it takes an hour, so that would be 1,000 watts, then this battery overage would go down a little bit. So solar calculator can really tell you, you know, when I figured this, when Brendan gave me the solar calculator, the solar on the house was already built. So the solar was completed, but we didn't, you know, we're still living in South Florida. So I was very curious, like, I hope I chose everything right. So when he gave me this calculator and I plugged everything in, I was like, oh, we're fine, which we are. So the solar calculator will get you where you need to be to let you know how much batteries and how much solar power, how many PV power you need coming in. So it's a really great system. So you don't have to, you know, and the solar architect of a good solar company, They're going to go over everything. They're going to want to know exactly what you're going to have in the house, because they don't want to install something that you're not going to be happy with. They don't want you, you know, they don't want to do a job and then you find out it doesn't work for you and you're pissed off. So it's up to the solar architect to let you know, hey, this isn't going to work. You may need, you know, but this calculator gets you pretty much, you know, in tune to what you are going to require. So I hope that this video was helpful to you. I hope you get solar, and I'm pretty confident it will work out great. I mean, we absolutely love it. So enjoy, and we will see you next time. You know, Brindy runs on solar too. She's charging up right now.